Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1956 with a release date of Friday, March 13th, 2015. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST, the European Space Agency to make camera on Mars Express spacecraft available for public use in May. The Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2015 is introduced in the House of Representatives. Commentary cutoff looms in possible restructuring of 77 to 81 gigahertz. Lawmakers say activating FM receiver chips in smartphones, a matter of public safety. And a group of hams in Germany bring back part of an abandoned shortwave station for amateur radio. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1956, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, amateur radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Parma, Ohio, here is Hal Rogers, KHCMD.
A webcam on board the European Space Agency's Mars Express spacecraft will be available for public imaging request in May, and ESA is inviting schools, science clubs, and youth groups to submit proposals for one of about 8 opportunities to image another planet. We get the details from Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
The Visual Monitoring Camera, or VMC, is described as a simple, low-resolution device that was originally intended only to provide visual confirmation of Beagle-Lander separation. While it's not a scientific instrument, the camera has the ability to deliver good-quality pictures of intriguing Martian features. In May, Mars will be in solar conjunction, meaning that the line-of-sight radio signals between Earth and Mars Express will be disrupted by the Sun. As a result, the spacecraft's normal scientific payload will be switched off. This offers a first-ever 3-day period when the VMC can be freely pointed at almost any target on the planet from the spacecraft's 300 by 10,000-kilometer orbit. While any number of eligible groups may submit proposals, only the most promising will be selected, one slot per group, corresponding to about 8 observation slots available. Proposals to make use of these slots must include the desired observation target, a brief note about why it's interesting, and a description of the intended project that will fully exploit the images. Those with strong educational value and representing a cohesive team effort will have the best chances of being accepted. If selected, ESA expects that groups that are awarded a slot will use its image set in a scientific or artistic project that makes full imaginative use of the visual information they contain. The VMC image sets will be downloaded on May 28th and then delivered to participating groups electronically. Projects should be completed by the end of the current academic year or July 31st, whichever comes first, and will be later published in the VMC blog. The call for proposals runs through March 27th. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Full details on the VMC imaging campaign timeline, eligibility, and technical information is on the web at tinyurl.com/image-the-red-planet. The online registration form can be found at tinyurl.com/u-can-image-mars.
So I'll talk. Hopefully everybody will be in there. Have a good day. 73 KF7REG.
Yeah, what happened is bad. Is I rooting now too? Yeah, we got a solar flare or something.
The Sun released its first super powerful flare of 2015 on Wednesday, March 11th, with the intense eruption aimed directly at Earth. According to Space.com, the X-class flare, which is the strongest category possible, peaked at 1622 GMT, originating from a sunspot known as Active Region 12297. It registered as an X2.2 sunstorm on the scale. Scientists classify strong solar flares into three categories. These are C, M, and X, with X flares 10 times more powerful than M flares. X2 and X3 flares are twice and three times as powerful as X1 flares. active region 12297, had previously fired off a number of medium-strength flares over the preceding few days. The event on March 11 caused at least an hour-long blackout in high-frequency radio communications over wide areas, according to scientists with the U.S. Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder, Colorado. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory captured stunning video of this X-class solar flare as it erupted. More details, including links to the space.com video and photos, are on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/groups/ARNewsline. The Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2015, known as H.R. 1301, has been introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives. The measure would direct the FCC to extend its rules relating to reasonable accommodation of amateur service communications to private land use restrictions. U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois introduced the bill on March 4th with 12 original co-sponsors from both sides of the aisle. Kinzinger also sponsored the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2014, which died at the end of the 113th Congress. H.R. 1301 is an essentially identical piece of legislation. The comments deadline is coming up on an FCC proceeding that could lead to expanded spectrum for various applications in a band that amateur radio shares with other services. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, explains.
The band, 77.5 to 78 gigahertz, is allocated to the amateur radio and amateur satellite services on a primary basis, and to the radio astronomy and space research services on a secondary basis. The FCC released a detailed notice of proposed rulemaking and reconsideration order in ET Docket 15-26 on February 5th. The suggestions in the docket include possible allocation changes, as well as provisions to ensure that new and incumbent operations can share the available frequencies in the band. The Notice of Proposed Rulemaking and Reconsideration Order was in response to a 2012 petition for rulemaking in RM-11666 from Robert Bosch, LLC. Bosch's petition sought to modify the FCC's Part 15 rules to expand the operation of unlicensed vehicular radar systems from 76 to 77 gigahertz to the 76 to 81 gigahertz band to develop short-range radar applications. ET Docket 15-26 also addresses two petitions for reconsideration of the Commission's 2012 report and order concerning vehicular radar systems in the 76 to 77 gigahertz band by incorporating these earlier proceedings. Among many issues, the Commission seeks comment on the possibility of reallocating the amateur radio and amateur satellite services from 76 to 81 gigahertz, and it asks for suggestions on alternative spectrum that it might make available in this general region. Noting that it has previously recognized evidence of potential interference conflicts between amateur radio and vehicular radar systems in the 76 to 77 gigahertz spectrum, the FCC said it believes the potential for similar compatibility issues could exist above 77 gigahertz. More than 10 years ago, the FCC suspended amateur radio and amateur satellite operation in the 76 to 77 gigahertz segment and recently extended the suspension. Commentary cutoff is April 6th, with reply comments due no later than April 20th. Interested parties may file comments in ET Docket 15-26 via the FCC electronic comment filing system. For Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Topeka, Kansas.
Amateur radio growth in the United States continues unabated. At the end of 2014, the total number of radio amateurs in the FCC's Universal Licensing System database reached an all-time high of 726,725. The trend has continued into the first 2 months of 2015, which saw the ham population rise to slightly more than 727,000. Just under half of all U.S. licensees hold the technician class license. The technician class, which was originally introduced in the 1950s for VHF experimentation, today permits holders to operate 200 watts output on high frequency bands and up to 1500 watts output on all VHF, UHF, and microwave bands. In DX Upfront, members of the Foundation of Global Children is again operating from Terra Tra as E30FB and will be there until March 17th. This is a part of the Terra Tra Project 2015, which is conducting its de-expedition from the capital of Asmara with a multinational team of 9 operators and 4 transceivers. Antennas are beams on 20 through 10 meters and verticals for 160 through 30. They say they will try to work every area as much as possible. QSLs go via their manager, M0URX. time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WD6 HFR repeater serving Palomar, California. A couple of members of Congress are lobbying the head of the FCC over cell phone broadcast reception, as we hear from Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
United States Representatives Benny Thompson of Mississippi and Peter DeFazio of Oregon say that activating the FM broadcast reception chips in many smartphones is a matter of public safety. In a recent note to FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler, the two lawmakers urged him to take every possible action to ensure that the public has every tool in the public alerts and warnings toolbox at its disposal. This should include access to FM radio through activation of radio chips already built into almost all smartphones. In their letter, they noted that text-based wireless emergency alerts are limited to 90 characters, severely limiting their usefulness. In fact, one of the pieces of advice often contained in those 90 characters is to tune into local broadcasts for more information. Concluding their argument, they wrote that radio is a proven lifeline in times of emergency, connecting consumers to the information they need to stay safe. During times of emergency, it is critically important that Americans have access to broadcast radio, which would provide instant emergency, life-saving information on the go. They also pledged to work with Wheeler to make it happen. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Authorities in Washington State arrested a 30-year-old transient man after he was caught with several thousand dollars in alleged stolen radio equipment. The Grant County Sheriff said the equipment was taken from an FM radio transmitter tower north of the town of Quincy. Cherry Creek Radio had called the local electric company because the station's transmitter was out of service, possibly due to a power outage at the Monument Hill tower site. When linemen arrived, they saw a man in a white Subaru apparently stealing radio equipment. They said the car fled southbound, but sheriff's deputies caught up with the vehicle and stopped it. In it, they found about $10,000 worth of electronic components belonging to Cherry Creek Radio. A suspect was taken to county jail on suspicion of second-degree burglary and first-degree possession of a controlled substance. The latter charge came after the correction officers also found methamphetamine on the man while he was being booked. The Foundation for Amateur Radio has moved to April 15th, the deadline to apply for the 2015 to 2016 academic year scholarships that it administers. Applicants must hold a valid amateur radio license and be enrolled or accepted for enrollment at an accredited university, college, or technical school. The preferred application method is to use the electronic form on the Foundation's website. Information entered on the form goes directly into an encrypted PDF file that is available only to the review committee. Those who are unable or unwilling to use the online application should contact Dave Prestel, W8AJR. The Foundation for Amateur Radio Scholarship Program is one of the largest of its type for amateur radio licensees in the United States. For the coming academic year, it's administering 67 scholarships worth $125,500. Individual awards range from $500 to $5,000. More information is online at fareweb.org/2015-scholarship-information. Version 0.2 of PiQSO was released on 7 March 2015. PiQSO is a simple contact logging tool that runs on Linux. The new version contains a number of fixes and updates to the user interface, and additional features such as an insert current date and time button, and the option of specifying default values for the power and mode fields. More information is in cyberspace at pyqso.readthedocs.org. ICOM America is showcasing new land mobile radio and some of its ham radio equipment at the 2015 International Wireless Communications Expo, slated for the Las Vegas Convention Center for March 16th to the 20th. During the event, the company will be showing new products promoting 6.25 kHz digital, P25, and IP radio solutions. On the commercial radio side, products on display will include the F1000D, F2000D, and the F3200DEX/F4200DEX, all of which belong to the ICOM Digital Advanced System, known as IDAS. The company will also be exhibiting its 50th anniversary limited edition IC7850, high frequency plus 6-meter amateur radio transceiver, as well as the ID5100A and the ID51A plus D-Star radios at booth 621 during exhibit hall hours. The first Yaesu System Fusion Forum at the Dayton Hamvention has been scheduled for 10:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Sunday morning, May 17th, in Forum Room 1. Planners will be working with Yaesu and hams active in the System Fusion community to schedule the agenda by mid-March. In the meantime, you can learn more about the System Fusion and the forum planning by joining the System Fusion group at tinyurl.com/learn-system-fusion. A 2006 documentary video that gives a look at the Radio Sweden shortwave transmitters at Horby and the Salzburg AM transmitter has been found on the web by Rob Wagner, VK3BVW. According to VK3BVW, what is interesting about the video is the detailed view of the inside of the shortwave and medium wave transmitters. This, as it offers some insight into the day-to-day work of an engineer for a large international broadcaster. The film, produced by Callie Lindman, is 30 minutes long and is in memory of the late Håkan Widenstedt. Widenstedt was the chief engineer for Radio Sweden, who passed away in 2011. While the audio track is in Swedish, the video does have English subtitles. It's available for online viewing at tinyurl.com/radio-sweden-transmitters. A set of video slide presentations from the HF Industry Association meeting held February 12th in San Diego, California, are now available online. Among the papers presented was one from Randy Nelson of Rockwell Collins, which describes test of full-motion video in a 48 kHz bandwidth over a 900-mile path on a frequency of 14.965 MHz. Also, Alan Pilecki from Harris RF described the company's RF7800H portable transceiver that covers 1.5 to 60 megahertz and supports data rates of up to 120 kilobits per second in a 24 kilohertz bandwidth. Also included are presentations from the Thales Group, NVIS Communications, ISOD, and Longwave Incorporated. You can download the individual slideshows from tinyurl.com/hf-slides. Some names in the news. First up is Danish astronaut Andreas Mogensen, who passed his ham radio exam on February 25th and has been licensed as KG5GCZ. Mogensen was selected as an ESA astronaut in May 2009 and completed basic space training programs at the European Astronaut Center in November of 2010. Since then, he has been certified as a private pilot by the Lufthansa Flight School and is trained and qualified for spacewalks using both the American EMU and the Russian Orion spacesuits. Mogensen will be the first astronaut of Danish nationality to go to space and will launch to the International Space Station in September along with British songstress and space tourist Sarah Brightman on a Russian Soyuz spacecraft. The Yasmi Foundation has announced that it has elected Ken Clairbout, K4ZW, and Hans Blondiel Timmerman, PB2T, to the board. This effective with the forthcoming annual meeting to be held in Visalia, California, in April. Clairbout was first licensed in 1977 and is an active DXer and contester. Blondiel Timmerman got his license in 1980 and is president and board member of the European DX Foundation. The Yasmi Foundation is a not-for-profit corporation organized to conduct scientific and educational projects related to amateur radio, including DXing, and the introduction and promotion of amateur radio in developing countries. This action brings the number of Yasmi Foundation directors to 9. The HABEX-10 mission is scheduled for launching on Saturday, April 25th. HABEX is the acronym for the High Altitude Balloon Experiment. The flight is part of the Global Space Balloon Challenge for 2015. More information about HABEX and its ties to amateur radio is on the web at www.habex.za.net. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. We are Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. The first compatible analog FM and digital mobile radio repeater has come to Portugal. The CQ0UCSC is a UHF repeater recently put into service. The new repeater is located near Lisbon and utilizes the Motorola Moto TRBO system currently at 10 watts output. The repeater listens on 431.125 MHz and transmits on 438.725 MHz. The new repeater is located near Lisbon and utilizes the Motorola Moto TRBO system currently at 10 watts output. The repeater listens on 431.125 MHz and transmits on 438.725 MHz. When in analog, FM mode access requires a 74.4 Hz subaudible access tone. This allows its use both in conventional analog FM at 25 kHz or DMR. Its sponsors do note that CQ0UCSC is not compatible with either ICOM or any other form of D-Star gear or the C4FM system fusion by Yaesu. Users require a Moto TRBO compatible radio to make use of it for digital voice operation. Very low frequency or VLF enthusiasts, mainly those living in the United Kingdom and other Northern Hemisphere regions, are planning some experiments during a solar eclipse on March 20th. A number of these VLF observers will be paying particular attention to receive signal strengths during this period and comparing results afterwards with the aim of compiling an in-depth report. Of particular interest will be the NRK signal on 7.5 kHz from Iceland. They also are interested in any results from other VLF and low-frequency stations. For those planning to take part, measurements should be prepared in a .csv format with accurate timestamps. The exact arrangements are still to be finalized, but will probably involve measurements for the same time period before and the day after the eclipse. If you would like to participate in this study, contact Paul Hyde via email to g4csd@yahoo.co.u. Following the successful conclusion of vibration, thermal, and vacuum testing, the Fox 1 ham radio satellite now is stored in a clean environment waiting for launch. Fox 1 completed its mission readiness review at Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California on February 24th before a review board of Cal Poly and NASA representatives. Integration of the satellite to its PPOD is now scheduled to take place on March 25th. PPOD is a standard deployment system which helps in the effort to reduce the satellite development time for the CubeSat program. AMSAT Vice President of Engineering Jerry Buxton, N0JY, says several required reports are being reviewed by the launch provider. Ongoing updates will be posted on the AMSAT webpage, on the AMSAT North America Facebook page, in the AMSAT Journal, and here on Amateur Radio Newsline. Martin Ehrenfried, G8JNJ, reports excellent slow-scan television and packet radio signal reception from the International Space Station using the online Southampton University Wireless Society, or SUWS, WebSDR receiving station. The omnidirection helix antennas at the WebSDR were designed with high-elevation satellites in mind. Comparisons with other WebSDRs shows that SUWS antennas provide a 6 to 10 dB better signal-to-noise ratio on similar passes. You can use the free online Southampton University Wireless Society web software to find radio from your PC or laptop to receive the ISS and many amateur radio satellites transmitting in the 144 to 146 megahertz or 435 to 438 megahertz bands. It also provides reception of high-altitude balloons in the 434 megahertz band and coverage of the microwave 10,368 to 10,370 megahertz spectrum. spectrum as well. The Southampton University Wireless Society WebSDR is located at Farnham, not too far from London. You can listen to it at http://websdr.suws.org.uk. And finally this week, a group of hams in Germany have brought back to life part of an international shortwave station and naming it Channel 292. Here's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, with the story.
When shortwave station Deutsche Welle decided to close down one of its 500 kilowatt transmitters near Munich at the end of 2012, a group of radio amateurs applied for and were allocated the then available frequency of 60-70 kilohertz. That was back in 2013. The group now has an operational 10 kilowatt station on that frequency using the driver stages from the old Deutsche Welle transmitter. The rest of the transmitter was built and is run by Rainer Ebling, DBAQC. The license allows for transmission 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but Channel 292, as it's called, currently operates mainly on weekends. Initially, for ham radio, there will be two programs. One called Radio DARC that will contain DX-related items, the expedition news reports, and the like. That will be in German. The other is titled English Amateur Radio News. It will be broadcasting the GB2RS news from the Radio Society of Great Britain, along with other ham radio information services. Rainer Englert, DF2NU, is one of the group running the station and also president of the Munich South section of Germany's National Amateur Radio Society, the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club. He tells Newsline that the current plan is to start transmission of Radio DARC programming officially on Sunday, March 22nd at 1100 hours Central European Time. He then hopes to be able to broadcast more often once sufficient program content is available. However, there is one sour note. The hams say that they are already seeing other broadcasters, such as Radio China, moving on to the frequency in the evening. This as those stations perceive 60-70 kHz as a frequency that's free to use. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles.
With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. Before we go, a reminder that Amateur Radio Newsline is seeking nominations for its 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award. For consideration, a nominee must have used amateur radio in some way that has benefited his or her community or encouraged technological development directly or indirectly related to communications. Nominees must be 19 years or younger and reside in the United States, including Hawaii, Alaska, and Puerto Rico, or any Canadian provinces. The individual must also hold a currently valid United States or Canadian amateur radio license. This award is not a contest. The person selected as Young Ham of the Year is judged on his or her overall accomplishments and contributions. Any prizes awarded are secondary in nature. The deadline for submitting an application is May 30, 2015, and the decision of the judging committee is final. To obtain an application, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to 2015 Young Ham of the Year Award in care of Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. You can also download a form in Microsoft Word format at www.arnewsline.org/YHOTY. Clicking on the word here and saving the file to print at a later time. Presentation of the 2015 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award will take place the weekend of August 15th and 16th at the Huntsville Hamfest in Huntsville, Alabama. For now, with producers Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles, and Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, plus our news team worldwide. I'm Hal Rogers, KHCMD in Parma, Ohio, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015, all rights reserved.